really on the way back to her. Monique smiled at her daughter. The moment faded.
Almost time for police patrol, Monique said suddenly. My lip hurts. Where did I put those pills?
She wandered back into the bedroom. Angel sighed in disappointment and let Monique return to the bedroom and the TV. She's getting better, Angel, Gerald said with a touch of enthusiasm. If we can flush those pills down the toilet, she might be okay. In the meantime, speaking of that TV show, do you think we should call the police? Angel thought for a moment.
Are you hurt?
Not really, Gerald admitted. But he had no business hitting me, and I'm sure not going to let him hit Monique again. Suppose he decides to hit you next time. Angel considered carefully.
Is Monique hurt?
She asked Gerald.
I think she's all right, but her lip is going to take a day or two to heal.
Let's think this thing out. If we call the police, they will take Jordan away.
Good, Gerald replied with force.
Maybe not, Angel said thoughtfully. How long will he stay in jail?
A week? A month?
And what will he do to get back at us when he gets out?
And he will get out.
Gerald looked at Angel in amazement and admiration. At 13, she was really pretty, with her golden brown skin and long, slightly fuzzy ponytail that she liked to toss as she walked. The problems of the past had given her a toughness and strength that most girls her age had yet to find.
So you think we shouldn't call the police? He asked her. Gerald was used to making the decisions for all of them. It was a good feeling to be able to listen to her input.
I'm not sure. I just think that right now we need the money he's bringing in.
Mama's not quite right yet. She's probably not even capable of filing charges. There's no telling where her mind might be when the police get here. They might take her away, too, and split me and you up. I couldn't deal with that.
Okay, Gerald said slowly. No police this time. But he gets no more chances. I just hope we've made the right decision.
Me too, she added with fear in her voice. Me too.
Jordan did not return until the next morning. Monique refused to smile at him this time. She rolled her eyes, frowned at him, and refused even to speak. She turned the TV up as loud as it would go and ignored him. He looked at Gerald, but did not apologize. Jordan had bought donuts and milk, along with fresh fruit and a dozen eggs. Angel unpacked the groceries quietly. Except for the blaring of the TV coming from Monique's room, all was silent. Jordan knew that they had not called the police. He knew that they should have, and he understood why they didn't. He accepted the silent conversation, agreeing to their unspoken terms. They understood each other. The incident was not mentioned again. Jordan found another job, sweeping up in a factory, but he hated it and was tense, restless, and irritable. Gerald was surprised he stayed around. Monique had many good days now. Gerald and Angel watered down her beer, and when she asked for her pills, they brought her multivitamins instead. Gerald had flushed the pills Jordan brought her. He and Angel had cheered as they circled down to the sewer where they belonged. Monique never even noticed the switch. She was like a flower that had been battered by a storm, but not quite destroyed. Gradually, she began to strengthen and bloom again.
"Isn't it time for basketball, Gerald?" she asked one day.
"Yeah," he answered with surprise. "We practice every day."
"I remember," she replied foggily. "You play for the Lions."
"No, Monique, but you're close. It's the Tigers, the Hazelwood Tigers."
"Oh, yeah," she smiled vaguely. "Tigers."
Gerald was a starter this basketball season, along with Robbie Washington and Andy Jackson. He felt good about himself for the first time in a long time. Rob's dad came to every game and cheered them all on. Angel was dancing again. Monique faded away less often. And Jordan, although always tense and irritable, left them alone.
Gerald looked forward to his basketball games, for the physical release, and when he could, he liked to hang with the boys on the team. He didn't have many friends, so Andy, Rob, and BJ meant a lot to him, although he never told them. Angel stayed with a neighbor until Gerald got home, but he didn't like to stay out too late. He still didn't trust Jordan. The game of November 7 went well. Gerald felt relaxed, and although he was nowhere near the high scorer, he had played one of his best games. "Hey, Gerald, what's up, man?" asked Rob as he changed his shoes. "Nothing much. Cold-blooded game, Rob. 27 points. You be dealing out there," Gerald replied with real admiration. "What can I say? College scouts from all over the world are knocking on my door, begging me to drive 6 new Cadillacs to their school to instruct the women in the dorms on the finer points of, shall we say, scoring, and to teach skinny little farm boys what it is." Gerald laughed at Rob's usual foolishness. "Andy, I don't see why you hang with this big-head fool, except maybe to learn some basketball. What you score tonight, 4? "Hey, Gerald, I thought you was my man. You sound like the coach, and it was 6 points, thank you." "I got more important things on my mind tonight," added Andy with fake dignity. "Yeah, maybe Keisha can teach him some basketball," teased Rob. "You want to go with us tonight, Gerald? We got some brew, and we're just going to be chilling." "Nah, Rob, I got to be getting home to check on my little sister. And my old man, you know how he is. Besides, who would want to be seen with 2 dudes named after a couple of dead presidents anyway?" Gerald laughed as he packed up his gym bag. "Forget you, man. You seen BJ and Tyrone?" Rob asked. "Yeah, man. They're waiting for you out by Andy's car." "Hey, Andy, when you gonna get that raggedy red car of yours painted?" Rob yelled across the locker room. "When my old man gets tired of looking at it, I guess," Andy yelled back, laughing. "He said something about a reward if my grades get better, but you know how that is." "Yeah, man. Parents be tripping. Still, at least you got a car. But don't get me talking about fathers. He's the reason why I got a raise out of here now." "Where y'all going?" Gerald asked. "No particular place. We just gonna chill." Andy grinned. "We might try to find a party, or we might just finish off them beers and let the party find us. Then I'm heading over to Keisha's house after I take these turkeys home." "Don't let Keisha find out you've been drinking. You know she'll go off." "Not to worry, Gerald, my man. Not to worry. I'm out of here. Peace." Gerald caught the first bus and was probably home before Andy and Rob had finished their first 6-pack. Jordan was still at work, so Gerald got Angel from next door and fixed them both a couple of Aunt Queen's Scram Burglars. They were watching the late news when the phone rang. "Gerald, this is Keisha. Have you seen Andy?" "Nah, I went home right after the game. But Andy and Rob and I think Tyrone and BJ too left together in Andy's car. Andy said he was coming by your house after he took those clowns home. He ain't there yet?" "No. Well, if he calls you, tell him to get in touch with me right away, okay? Hey, you haven't heard anything about any accidents, have you?" "Why is it the first thing a girl thinks about if her boyfriend is late is that he's been in an accident? I bet he's in the backseat of his car kissing all over some real sexy woman." "All you fellas are alike. Worthless. Call me if you hear anything, okay?"
"Sure. Later."
Gerald knew that Andy, Rob, and Tyrone were planning to drink tonight after the game. Keisha's call had him a little worried. Andy was silly, but he wasn't stupid. Besides, they were only 17. What could possibly happen? Gerald sat next to the phone, thinking about how things had gradually changed since last year. Sure, Andy was still silly, making yo-yo grades, Rob was still the best player on the team, Tyrone spent most of his time with Rhonda, and BJ was still short. But now, Andy drove to school every day. Gerald thought it was odd that of the 4 of them, Andy, who had the worst grades, was the only one who had been given a car by his folks. Andy's parents rarely came to their games, but Andy always had plenty of money to spend on food, on the latest CDs, and on beer. Most of the boys, all except BJ, had started drinking. At parties, after games, after school, beer was easy to get and felt better than soda pop on a Saturday night. Even Gerald, who had seen up close the awful things a drunken man can do, would split a six-pack with Andy and Rob. It made him feel strong and in charge of his life. He was tired of being scared and depressed and worried all the time. The beer made him forget. He liked that. Rob's dad didn't know, and Andy's dad didn't notice. So splitting a few beers after a game had become routine. They can handle it, Gerald thought. They probably just found a new place to party tonight. Girls worry too much. But when he didn't hear anything more after an hour, he called Keisha back. Her dad's answering machine picked up. BJ's line was busy. So was Andy's. There was no answer at Rob's house. Finally, he reached Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda, what's up? Keisha called me looking for Andy. You seen him? No, Gerald. Didn't anybody call you? There was an accident. Rob's dead. Andy ran into a wall, there was an explosion, and they all got out except for Rob. Rob's dead. I can't deal with this. I feel like I'm gonna explode. Gerald hung up the phone and sat down in a heap on the floor. He was too stunned to even cry. He was sitting there shaking when Angel walked into the room.
What's wrong, Gerald? She asked gently.
Gerald could barely breathe. All of the pain of the past crowded in on him. Aunt Queen's death, Monique's accident, Jordan's abuses. He sobbed finally with huge, burning explosions of pain. He wept for several minutes. Angel sat next to him, feeling his sorrow, understanding his grief.
It could have been me. They wanted me to come with them tonight, but I didn't. And now Rob's dead. It could have been me. It could have been me.
Angel's tears dripped softly onto the cold wooden floor.
Not Robbie. Oh, please, not Robbie.
Gerald couldn't help her this time. His own grief threatened to strangle him.
Robbie can't be dead. Robbie can't be dead.
Gerald repeated wordlessly to himself, not Robbie, not cool, silly, fun-loving Rob. Gerald felt weak and heavy. He felt like he couldn't breathe, like a stone wall was sitting on his chest with the bricks running through his veins. Nothing worked right or felt normal. He couldn't cry anymore. He could only hold his head between his arms to try and block the vision that slipped in anyway. The fire, the screams, the silence. Gerald suddenly shuddered.
What about Rob's dad? I've been so busy trying to make this fit inside my head that I forgot all about Robbie's family. Oh my God, they must be ripped!
Gerald ran to the phone and punched the numbers with fear and ferocity. The pleasant voice of the answering machine that never had to feel sorrow or pain answered cheerfully, "You have reached the Washington residence. Please leave your number and have a nice day." Gerald hung up in despair. He didn't think he would ever have another nice day as long as he lived.
Angel, I gotta go over there. Rob's dad was there for me. I gotta go. Let me go with you. Kiara's gonna need someone who knows how to cry. And that's one thing I know about. You got bus money?
Yeah, let's go. Gerald and Angel walked from the bus stop in silence. It was late, well after midnight, and the stars sparkled faintly above the streetlight. Angel glanced up.
How can the stars still shine, Gerald?
I don't know. It seems like the world ought to stop or something. Like they ought to not show up tonight, at least.
How can the world keep on going like nothing's happened?
They walked up to Rob's driveway just as the Washingtons were pulling in. Kiara's door opened slowly, but she just sat there. Angel walked over to the car and offered her hand. Kiara reached toward her hesitantly and touched Angel's trembling fingers. She got out then and collapsed in huge sobs in her friend's arms. Angel, standing under the shadow of Rob's basketball net on the garage door, glanced at the uncaring stars and waited until Kiara's storm was reduced to sniffles and sobs. Rob's mom walked unsteadily to the house, let the dog out, took the mail from the mailbox, and after finishing with the meaningless details of the moment, sat down on the front steps, shivering and helpless. Mr. Washington picked up Rob's basketball and held it in his hands, staring at its roundness, feeling the ridges and lumps on it, softly repeating Rob's name.
Robbie, 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 Robbie.
Gerald walked over to him and placed his hand on the older man's shoulder, just as Rob's dad had done for him on that day that now seemed so long ago. Mr. Washington trembled and touched Gerald's hand. His eyes said thanks, but his lips could not yet speak. Too many other words and thoughts were crowded in his mind that evening. He went to his wife and took her hand, and together they walked over to Kiara. The three of them glanced at the basketball net, and Rob's father let the ball drop with a dull thud to the driveway. It rolled to Gerald's feet. Gerald picked it up slowly. Holding it seemed to help erase some of the confusion that clogged his mind. "Can I hold on to this for a little?" he asked hesitantly.
"Please do," answered Mr. Washington huskily. "He would want..."
Rob's father finally wept. Mrs. Washington and Kiara took him into the house then. Mrs. Washington glanced back.
"I'm sorry," she said to Gerald. "Did you and Angel want to stay over?"
"Oh, no. We just came to be with you all for a little bit. We gotta get back home now. Call us. We'll be around."
Rob's mom smiled, then closed the door softly behind her. Gerald and Angel walked silently into the darkness, back to the darkness of their own home. Robbie Washington's funeral was held on a Saturday. More than 500 teachers, students, parents, and friends attended. Andy, the driver of the car, sat bandaged and dazed in the third row. Gerald, consumed with grief, sat silently next to Andy, consumed with guilt. "Pain is lonesome," thought Gerald as he watched all the kids at school caught up in their grief. "You gotta deal with it all alone." Gerald noticed with anger that neither of Andy's parents had come to the funeral. During the recessional, Rob's mother stopped for a moment at the third row. She glanced at Gerald with brief despair and moved on. She would not even look at Andy. After Rob's funeral, Gerald wanted to quit the basketball team. It was no longer any fun without Rob's silliness and Andy's teasing competition with Rob for points, for food, even for girls. Andy took Rob's death the hardest. He and Robbie had been so close, and he could not overcome feeling responsible for Rob's death. Although most of the kids at school were understanding, some of them also had trouble with it. Andy found the word "killer" taped to his locker one day. Coach Ripley thought that keeping the team together and finishing the season would help to save them all. Andy was made captain of the team in Rob's place. Gerald knew that Andy was proud, but that he felt uncomfortable as well. Andy knew he couldn't fill Rob's shoes. He wasn't sleeping well, and his grades, which were never very good, got even worse. His parents sent him to a psychologist for counseling, which seemed to help a bit, but Gerald could see how much he was hurting. Gerald knew about hurt. He lived with it all the time. His life, from the moment his mother had abandoned him when he was 3, had been a series of disappointments and hardships. But he managed to keep his head above water most of the time. And whenever he felt like sinking, he had Angel to hold him up. But Rob's death was different. Rob was young and talented and had a bright future. He'd had 2 parents who adored him, not at all like the abusive Jordan and helpless Monique. Gerald couldn't understand why Rob was gone and he still lived. He started coming home late from games, walking the 5 miles instead of riding the bus. He felt like he couldn't breathe on the bus anymore. Walking helped him to think, and to clear the confusion in his head. Entering the apartment around midnight one night, Gerald was surprised to see Angel there with Jordan. "What are you doing here?" he growled at Jordan.
"I live here.
I always get Angel from Miss